Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
I will attack you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. We are short one co-host. He already said he was going to be late, and then we had to bump the show up an hour to accommodate our guest. So he might not be on until after the interview. I guess we'll see. But I'm glad you decided to not be unprofessional and actually show up on time, because you were off for driving to be late.
I walked in the door, I swear to you, 5 minutes ago. I have never been so unprepared for anything in all my life.
I figured you would have had all your questions written down like days ago.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen.
Huh. Well, it shouldn't be too hard, isn't it? It's not like he's someone we have no information. Besides, I know you're on Wikipedia right now as we speak.
It's coming up right now.
And then it's wrong as far as his accident. It wasn't a car wreck.
What?
He wasn't injured in a car wreck.
Okay. I won't ask him about that.
It had wheels, but it wasn't a car.
Motorcycle, right?
Well, we'll see what he says. There's rumors that it was a scooter.
Oh, no. Okay.
But we'll see. I mean, I don't see how anyone could do that much damage on a scooter, though, so it's probably a motorcycle. But let me actually, I told him I was going to call him about within 5 minutes from the top of the hour, so... can you handle doing the show here without Couture for a few minutes?
Well, I'm going to have to, aren't I?
Yeah, you're going to have to. And I'm also going to give you the first two questions. So as soon as you do the intro and say hello, jump right into your question.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Okay, well, let me get going. It's been a while since I called it a guest on Dreamway. Hold on.
Well, this is a heck of a deal, isn't it? Cap dancing while Ed's dialing a number. Hopefully he hasn't been herbally enhanced and everything will go off without a hitch. I see that there is a big change in the ROH pay-per-view breaking news right here. There's an iPay-per-view tomorrow for anybody who is not aware, and looks to be a pretty good show, but Silas Young is out of action tomorrow. He has broken his leg, which is a darn shame. As far as the rest of the pay-per-view goes, looks to be a heck of a show with Jay Briscoe and Michael Elgin in the title match, and another match that I'm very much looking forward to is AJ Styles versus Adam Cole, and also 2 out of 3 falls match with the ROH Tag Team Champions Red Dragon versus Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks. It should be a great match there. One thing about the Young Bucks, they're not bad. In fact, they're very good. Never seen a bad Young Bucks match. We also have Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian against Roderick Strong and Jimmy Jacobs. Cedric Alexander will be, well, he's not wrestling Silas Young anymore.
Hey, Craig. Craig,
yes,
can
sir.
You introduce our guest, please?
I'd be more than happy to. Over the past 14 years, our guest has been wowing fans with his amazing high-flying maneuvers and acrobatics. He's worked in every major company in the States and has worn many championship belts, which begs the question, how does this man not have a contract right now? Please welcome to the show, Evan Bourne.
Thanks, man. Hello, thank you. What a lovely introduction. You are far, far too kind. I have a feeling you're setting me up to lambast me.
Absolutely not, sir. Absolutely not.
No, I'm just kidding. How's it going, guys?
Going well. How are things for you, sir?
Things are glorious. Just left yoga class. I'm still driving in my car, so if there's a little, you know, noise, I apologize for the lack of sound integrity. But, you guys got me, man. I'm here for my good friend Ed in San Antonio. Whatever he needs, I can hook him up. You know, here's the interview. Let's do it.
So we'll go ahead, Craig. Go ahead and start it off.
Well, I was going to ask you, how's it been working the indies again?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I haven't had that many matches, but I have, in the ones I have, I've had a ton of fun. I spent this past weekend at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's Battle of Los Angeles tournament. And
yes, sir.
Let me tell you, when I said I felt like I was a part of something special, I was a part of something special, and I was so proud to be on those shows, and I was excited to be on them before, and then afterwards, like, they exceeded my expectations, and my God, if you guys had been there on Sunday night for that 10-man tag, you would not stop talking about it because of how truly amazing pro wrestling can be when the fans and the wrestlers, like, literally gel and make in-ring magic and memories for a lifetime. The people that were at that show on Sunday are never, ever going to forget it. That's how good it was.
Wow. That's
so the PWG crowd is a different breed of cat. How would you describe their fan base?
Enthusiastic, non-judgmental. They are participants. They participate in the show. They're an integral part of the show. In fact, like, they're like, you know, and they motivate the guys to wrestle. I mean, they're a huge factor in this process. And I mean, that's what makes the show so amazing, is the atmosphere. And then, of course, that they booked, you know, some of the best wrestlers on planet Earth in really amazing matches, and give the guys entire creative freedom to take chances, to take risks, to, you know, possibly fail. Like, that there's guys did stuff on Sunday that could have fell flat on its face and been terrible, but instead they accessed this amazing creative spark and just knocked it out of the park.
Now, I wanted to ask you a question. How many people do they actually fit into the arena that they hold the events? Because from what I hear, it's pretty much always sold out, and they only run, like, maybe, what, once a month or so? How big is the actual crowd there?
Yeah, it was super no vacancy, super sold out. Like, I couldn't even get a ticket. I couldn't even buy a ticket for my friend because I asked early enough. I mean, like, it's there's no capacity because of the fire, you know, whatever fire. Fire code, they have to be under that. But basically, I didn't count the number of people, but it was, let's say, maybe just under 500. Or, I don't know, however many that building holds is exactly how many they fit in. And, I mean, there was just a cast of characters. There was everybody from, like, Fans traveled all the way from, you know, Ireland to be there, and then one guy was dressed completely as Stone Cold two nights in a row. Then you have, like, you know, famous actors in the crowd as well. It's just an amazing amalgamation of people and wrestling enthusiasts. Like, there was even a guy there that had my old school Matt Sydal shirt from, you know, let's say 2005 when he bought it. So it's just like, you know, people from, you know, all degrees of wrestling enjoyment. But that's a show that if you knew nothing about pro wrestling and you showed up, you'd have the time of your life at it.
The one thing that's great about PWG is it's the one company that were, like, rivals from other companies that you normally won't see on the same show. Like, you'll have ROH guys on the show, you'll have Dragon's Gate guys on the show. It's really amazing how they're able to, like, do all that when there's so much politics on the outside of it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't really know what goes on in these politics because I've been out of the loop for so long. But I do know that I got the opportunity to wrestle a guy like Kenny Omega, who is never, ever in the United States. He's always wrestling in Japan for DDT, and you never get a chance to wrestle a guy like him, who is a super skilled, like, just highly talented and charismatic guy in the ring that, had it not been for PWG, I'd have never gotten to get in the ring with him.
Yeah, the last time I saw him, we saw him in Arizona WrestleMania weekend for ROH, and he was pretty good. The last time I did see a tape of him in Japan, he was actually wrestling like a 5-year-old girl who, like, kicked his ass. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But.
Yeah, of course I have. Of course I have. But, like, his, you know, he was the king of the anywhere match, you know. He's done it. He's just a, you know, he's a talent that found a living in Japan, and he's loving it out there, but he brought it at these shows. He wrestled, he actually beat me in the second round of the tournament, and then wrestled Ricochet in the third before losing to Ricochet, who went on to win the tournament, who is clearly the stud of the year in tournaments when it comes to professional wrestling. Well, and deserved as well.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, you are coming back from, even though it's been quite a while since you actually had the injury, you're basically having your first matches back. I think you might have just had one or two in NXT, but how is your foot holding up?
Well, I would describe my foot as a piece of shit, but that I've forgiven for being terrible. You know, it requires a lot of ankle tape and stability support. And it requires constant daily training and weekly physical therapy, even two and a half years later, maybe, we're sitting at. It requires a lot of effort to maintain it. And I did have a fear that my career might be over, but I have literally just been killing it in these matches. So my confidence is back up. My confidence is there. Actually, what was nice is WWE was so good to me. Like, you guys have no idea. Because had they fired me at any point along the way, which they had the full right to since they weren't using me, I would have been stuck because I wasn't healthy enough to wrestle. I would have been stuck with no income and nothing. But instead, WWE was nice enough to wait until I was fully healed before they let me go, which means that they basically released back into the wild a hungrier, more determined, physically ready to go, better than I've ever been in my entire life, Matt Sydal. And it's a great deal of thanks, and really everybody on the indies should be thanking him for it because they really, I got a super education in WWE, and I learned so much, and I've taken so many things to heart and ideas home that, I mean, I'm not saying I'm some super wrestler now, but I think I am I'm far from ever reaching my peak in this game. I'm really far from that. So
now I knew you're gonna be real positive on the WWE, and I also saw a tweet where somebody was trying to get you to bash WWE or bash John Cena because apparently John Cena said he was rough or tough on the new guys, and you kind of like totally took John Cena's side. Are you getting that, like, a lot from people wanting to talk to you or do interviews with you, that they're kind of hoping that you're going to turn on the WWE and bash them?
Well, first of all, let me say I only give out interviews very exclusively to very important people.
So, you know, I haven't done much heat yet. But I have heard from what I've heard from a lot of the guys on the scene is that most of the guys who get fired from WWE don't have nice things to say about it. And, you know, maybe that's their experience. But, dude, for me, I had a positive experience. It, you know, I've got – some people like to blame other – you know, if the writer shot me in the foot or this guy stabbed me in the back. None of that happened to me. You know, I was my own worst enemy. I was literally – I was the one who shot myself in the foot. I held myself back. And luckily I'm not in that same mindset that I was before. And, you know, unfortunately the timing's bad because I'm not in WWE to capitalize on – my newfound attitude, I would say. I have a much better approach to life and wrestling and everything in general. Basically, I feel better than I ever have in my entire life today. So, if people were bad to me, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to shy away from telling the truth, and I'm not going to shy away from saying how I feel, but it just so happens that I feel a lot of gratitude towards WWE. And, you know, I got a ton of friends there. I got friends that kick ass that are up, that are under contract on the roster. I got friends that kick ass that are on the lighting crew or the catering crew or the writing team or the guys that drive the trucks. Like, I had a lot of friends, man, when I let, you know, and then I got hurt and then I basically disappeared. So it's kind of sad. I didn't get to say goodbye to a lot of people. I could walk backstage at the show. Obviously not, you know, this week since my non-compete's just finally closing, and obviously I'd give it some time, but if I went backstage, I would get nothing but hugs and high fives and happy to see all those guys. But at the same time, there is a sensational feeling and something amazing about going back to the places where you came from. Like, when I was in Japan, I slept in the same bunk that I did, you know, 8 years prior, and I looked out across the same street, the same train tracks, and just literally I was transported back in time to that first time I came to Japan, and I just, the goosebumps came over me, and I just had this insane, I don't want to call it deja vu because it wasn't deja vu, but it was something even more special than that. And then going backstage at the Ring of Honor show, seeing the Briscoes for the first time in so many years, seeing all these guys who, you know, I love and I miss, but just, I knew I would be back that way. Hey, hold on just a second, guys. I'm sorry. Hold on just a second.
Yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. I'm sure
just awkward silence.
Oh no, Steve will edit it out of the download. So
sorry, guys.
Oh no problem.
No worries.
I was going to ask. Speaking of Japan, how did the match go? And how did you're already talking about how great it was, but how did the match go?
The match was great. I wasn't happy about it because I actually had twisted my ankle really early on, and I was in a lot of pain, and I didn't feel like I moved as well as I should. But you know, anybody's going to look slow and crappy next to Ricochet. Reuniting with Simo, reuniting the tag team, literally felt like we had never not tagged. I mean, like our communication, even though we don't speak the same language, even though we haven't wrestled in years, our in-ring just communication, just looking at each other and thinking what we should do, like, it was just there. And I love wrestling in Dragon Gate. It was cool seeing that they had a whole new group, this group called the Millennials, and all those guys were studs, and just, you know, the whole being a part of Dragon Gate was something that changed my life when I was young, and coming back to it, I realized what I missed about it. And one of my main goals in my post-WWE career would be to become the Open the Dream Gate champion or become a two-time Open the Brave Gate champion. Both of those things appeal to me.
Awesome. Now, speaking of Dragon's Gate, the last time I talked to you in person, you were telling me that you're just about ready to send your little brother down to the dojo, and I haven't really heard too much from him. Is he still down there, or how did that all work out for him?
So my brother Mike Seidel went down there and did 3 months in the Dragon Gate dojo, and he learned a lot, and he has taken it back with him. He works kind of on the undercard of Ring of Honor, does a lot of, you know, ring crew and setting up, and
he's just Mike has the right attitude that every wrestler should have, which is train hard and put your nose down and grind it out and don't think you deserve anything. Mike's never asked me for anything. He's never wanted a handout. He wants to earn it all on his own and the hard way. And I really admire him for it. And, like, it's the proof is in the pudding. If I had helped him along the way, he might not have learned all the hard lessons like I had to learn. And that's what made me who I am. And Mike learning the hard lessons now is making him into a better wrestler every day. And, I mean, literally he's improving every day. He's got a work ethic that's literally unparalleled.
Yeah, I saw him like about maybe a year ago. I think he wrestled Kyle O'Reilly at a show here in town. And, yeah, he was great, man. I was very much impressed. It was actually, I think, my first time actually seeing him in a match. I was like, wow, he's almost as good as his big brother.
No, I mean, but let's be honest, nobody is, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Almost as good, please. Come on. I'm next
level. Trying to
be nice. Yeah. I'm very proud of Mike. And, you know, when he started, he was god-awful, but all of us were. And he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He just consistently has plugged away and not bitched and moaned about a thing. And that's how it's done. That's how you live. That's how you get by in this world.
Cool. Craig, go ahead, Craig.
I wanted to ask you about working with Wrestling Society X back in the day. How did that gig come about? And I heard that the pay was incredible. And they took real good care of you guys. Is that the truth?
What was the third part of that question?
I just heard they took really good care of you guys.
Yeah, they put us up at a lovely hotel on Sunset Boulevard. It was a cool experience. These guys sold a show to MTV. MTV gave them quite a bit of money to put it together. It had its flaws, which were blatantly obvious to me. But it was, at the time, they flew me from Japan and also booked some of the Dragon Gate guys on my recommendation. And then also we all got paid.
How long did it last? Because it didn't last too long. I remember they were on, like, for a few weeks. And
they never even aired the full season. They just aired the first 9 episodes, and then that was that.
Okay. How many days did it take for them to film everything, even the stuff that didn't make the TV?
So they filmed. We filmed the pilot episode in 1 day, and then we filmed the remaining episodes over the course of 10 days. I think they were kind of filming two parts at a time, and all this stuff. But in general, it was a pretty efficient taping. Considering they didn't really know what they were doing. Considering it's the first time and they hadn't worked out all the little details.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm glad I got to do it. It was a cool thing, but actually that's one of the reasons WWE wouldn't let me use Matt Sydal as my name, because they knew I had used it on this MTV show.
Huh. You also got a plus of they gave you a really hot chick to hang out with, on the show.
Yeah. I mean, her boyfriend at the time was the ring announcer, but I did enjoy having a valet time. It was the only time I've ever done heel work except for the end of my Ring of Honor run. So it was fun just to expand my character and be thinking outside my traditional box of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Another reason to hate that announcer.
Now, speaking of women, I was reading on Wikipedia that you actually teamed in with Daisy Hayes against Delirious and Mischief, and you actually won the title because Daisy won the match.
Oh man, I'm not a historian. I don't even know my own history. I do remember we had a couple matches together, like with me and Daisy against Delirious and Mischief. We even did a cage match against each other. And the match that led to that was actually one of the only times I ever bled, is I got my head put into the side of the ring, but a board was sticking out, and it just blasted my forehead. and it was a it was during a tag match, and I lean over to Daisy Hayes, and I want to ask, like, and I go to ask her, like, how bad is the blood? Like, how much am I bleeding? Oh, give me just 1 second, guys. Sorry.
No problem.
You know, I asked her, how bad am I?
Matt.
I think we might have lost him.
Wait.
No, he's there.
There he is.
So that's quite the crimson mask.
Cool. We actually kind of missed part of that. You disconnected for a second.
Oh, well, you missed the punchline. Shit. I was saying that when I looked, I had hit my head on the ring, on the side of the ring, and I got split open. And mm-hmm. I went to Daisy Hayes, who's my tag partner, and I said, you know, how bad is it? How much am I bleeding? She said, it's Ian Rotten bad.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Which meant I was bleeding like a stuck pig.
Right.
Now, speaking of Ian Rotten, I guess you could segue there because you wrestled quite a bit for IWA, and how did you enjoy that? Because you hear some guys talk good about it, but then you hear some guys tell horror stories. And how was your experience with IWA in itself?
Well, that's where I got a lot of big breaks. Ian really believed in me, and he used me because I wasn't a guy who cared about getting paid. You know, I don't even know what my average payday there was, but it's probably $30 or $35, which we all know doesn't cover gas or anything. But at the time, I wasn't wrestling to get paid. I wasn't doing it for a living. I was doing it to get experience and to grow and to, like, become a better wrestler. It was the only place within, you know, an honest six-hour drive that would put me in matches, and I would get in matches with guys who were better than me. And that's how you learn in this business. And Ian always paired me up with somebody that I got a great deal from. And that's where I started to turn a corner in my career.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of guys came up from IWA. But speaking of IWA, were you there when Craig got pissed off at the Peach Machine for doing the Kurt Angle gimmick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I was there. I just don't remember that stuff because, I can hardly remember little things like that. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure he wrestled a guy named T.J. Dalton, and they got in trouble for that, yeah. Not in trouble, just yelled at. Just, you know, that wasn't what they were looking for.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Craig.
I guess one of your first breaks besides the Wrestling Society X, you did a short stint in TNA. Would you go back there now if they picked up the phone?
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out of the question, but it's not in my immediate, like, it's not somewhere where I'm salivating and biting at the bit to work.
Sure.
I think I'd rather be a part of Ring of Honor television at the current time than TNA television. I don't, like, There's a lot of guys at TNA that I'd like to work with. I think Aries is amazing. I think EC3 is awesome with Spud. And, like, those guys, there's no lack of talent there. It's just, it seems like a company that's just been treading water barely for years. And I'm not looking to sign a contract with anyone right now. I'm just looking to be freelance and capitalize on this opportunity I got.
So your plan is just be an independent contractor, and if the WWE calls tomorrow, you pack your bags.
Well, that's not necessarily. I mean, it depends on that phone call and the conversation, but I certainly have no opposition to going back there. But I also, I have goals that I want to accomplish right now. Like I said, I've got goals I want to accomplish in Dragon's Gate, goals that I've set for myself in Ring of Honor and PWG and all the other indies. I feel like I've got a chance to get back to a lot of guys now. There's a lot of guys that were really young when I left that have blossomed into really amazing wrestlers, and I look forward to wrestling with them again and kind of sharing my experience, my knowledge, and all the stuff that, you know, I've accumulated throughout the years and playing with these guys now, you know, and helping the scene.
That's fair.
No,
yeah, I would...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I would love to see you in Ring of Honor. Their television isn't A-plus by any means, but their product is. And I think you'd be a very good fit in Ring of Honor. I'd love to see you there.
Yeah, I think Ring of Honor's got a lot of things going for it. I think I'd fit in there, and I think I have some business that I never finished there. I think I'd like to work my way up to the top of a company like that, because when I left, I was not at the top of Ring of Honor. And
there's
a difference between the guys who were at the top. Like, let's look at Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan. They were at the top of Ring of Honor before they went to WWE. Mm-hmm. And I think their success has evidenced that perhaps it's better to make it to the top there first and then transfer over. So perhaps that's what I can do as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I could also just be happy being there forever. You know, I just, as long as I'm being challenged creatively and having fun and enjoy the guys I'm working with, pretty easy to deal with.
Now, earlier you had mentioned the non-compete clause, but you are working matches. Is the non-compete just to not be on TV or DVDs, or how does that work for you?
Basically, it's any national company, anything. I got clearance to go wrestle in Japan, but as far as the other stuff goes, like, WWE has been very nice to let me work, even the let me work most places. Yeah, I just was not allowed to do Ring of Honor. Actually, I will be officially a free man. I'll no longer be a trust fund baby as of September 12th or 13th. And, you know, it's been a hell of a run, but that's that, you know. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
What would you consider the highlight of your career in WWE? Would it be the tag team championship run or?
No, at that time Randy Orton gave me an RKO after I did a Shooting Star Press. It's the only thing people remember that I did. There it is. I topped out by taking a big old bump that hurt and sucked. That's my peak.
I was planning on asking about that because, I mean, quite literally, I think it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen done. I mean, the timing, I mean, it just looked so perfect, and it was on TV and everything. It was just like, it was amazing. Did you guys practice
cool,
that?
Cool, thanks.
Like...
You're welcome. No, I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to practice that? I mean, I showed him a video of it, you know. I showed Randy the video actually that weekend while we were on the house show loop. I said, hey, man, if we ever wrestle, let's do this. He saw it. He loved it. Literally, we had no idea that on Monday we were going to end up involved in a thing that led to the Money in the Bank ladder match, or it was a TLC ladder match. That was a pay-per-view coming up. And so to set it up, we just ended up doing that. We just did it. I mean, it's Randy's really – people don't give him as much credit as he deserves for his athleticism and his, like, timing and his, you know – in-ring presence and stuff. So, you know, that was like, I mean, I don't want to say it was easy because it hurt and sucked, but, you know, I'm really proud of that moment. Well, you know, I created a moment. Also, that time I tagged with Cena on Raw, Raw opened with an in-ring interview with me and Edge was also another highlight of my career. I love tagging with Kofi, but, you know, we had some really good matches, but I don't feel like I was performing at the highest level I could have been at the time. So
one thing I remember is it was when they were doing the gimmick where, like, the fans could vote, and it was the vote for the opponent. I don't even remember who the guy was, but it was like you, Mark Henry, and someone else, and I think it was set up for Mark Henry or maybe something like that, but you won. And I thought that was pretty awesome because I thought it was, like, getting, like, noticed and maybe hopefully lead to a push. But what was going through your mind? Because, I mean, did you think you could have won, or what was going on when they announced your name?
I think you're referencing the Cyber Sunday match that I had with Matt Hardy that the fans picked who would win. And I don't know why, but I was really confident in it just because I was new and it was a novel concept, and people have seen Mark, you know, people have the other matchups had been done before, and mine was totally new, and I was kind of on fire right there early in ECW. And, yeah, I mean, I had, like, a kind of a ridiculous amount of confidence that they'd pick me. So I was totally ready when I got picked.
Yeah, that was cool, and that was a good match, too. I mean, you're
I remember, like, because you started, I guess, in, what was it, ECW, and you had, like, a great run in ECW. I know that not a lot of people saw it, like, compared to, like, Raw, but, man, you were, like, fantastic when you were on there.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I feel like I was real, like, I was still on fire at that point. It really wasn't until I had that first ankle injury that I felt like things derailed. You know, it's nobody's fault or anything, but I felt like I never got back to where I could have been, and, you know, that's just kind of where the cards fall sometimes. Unfortunately for me, it happened way earlier than I would have liked, because I wrestled the first 10 years of my career essentially injury-free, only to be in WWE for less than a year and get injured.
I think I was actually at your first match back after that injury.
Awesome. Did I throw my shirt to you in the crowd, Ed?
No, you didn't.
I'm just kidding.
I
wouldn't have fit you anyway.
I was trying to wave my pink Team Viggity shirt at you. I don't think you saw it.
Okay.
Which I don't fit into that shirt either, by the way.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool. Go ahead, Craig.
I was going to say, you were making a joke about only having one moment in the WWE, but, man, you got to wrestle at WrestleMania. That is so cool. That must have been like a childhood dream, right?
I did so many things that were awesome. For me, it wasn't necessarily like participating in the largest event. Like, wrestling in front of 70,000 people was an insane trip. But that was never anything I, like, fantasized about as a kid. What I fantasized about as a kid was earning the respect of and wrestling guys that were my heroes, legends, and guys I admired. And so that's, like, where the stuff where I wrestled Chris Jericho and I wrestled Rey Mysterio and not just put on good shows for the fans, but earn their respect in the ring. That for me, those were the highlights of my career, because I still admire those guys and I still think highly of them. And that goes a lot to say about their character and how they treat people like me. And, you know, I just feel like the matches I had with those two guys were just, I'll never forget those moments. Like I said, there's a lot of matches I forget, but those are two matches I won't.
You also,
yeah, but the deal with Jericho was great.
You got to travel the world with WWE. What are some of your favorite towns? Some of your favorite buildings? What were your hot spots around the world?
Okay, so I'm going to give you an unorthodox answer. I'm going to say Jackson, Mississippi. And you wouldn't believe how insane and loud and raucous this crowd was. And it's like a tin-roofed dome. I mean, the dome looks like it's got, like, the silver top on it. And the fans literally wait basically in horse stalls for autographs. And we literally have to walk through, like, mud and dirt to get into the arena. But there was something special at that venue. And it was one of my favorite places to wrestle. But, I mean, obviously you can't rule out, like, London was awesome. The O2 Arena was killer. Wrestling in my hometown of St. Louis was, you know, a huge trip. I mean, the hitting the towns is really awesome. And hitting the small towns, too, I really enjoyed. Like, we did a lot of live events at places where TV tapings don't go. And the fans there seem to appreciate the entertainment even more. That's why, like, a town like Jackson, Mississippi might be one of my favorites to ever wrestle in. And it's not like I was, like, crazy over, but we all were. I mean, it was just a special building to wrestle in, just like that PWG venue.
Right. That's cool.
And how about the venue here in San Antonio?
The worst. I hate it. I hate everyone in San Antonio. I never want to go back there, not even to watch a basketball game with you again, Ed.
Oh, man. Well, you brought us good luck because we won the NBA championship this year.
I know. I always bring good luck where I go. There's a lot of cool places in Texas. Corpus Christi has a special place in my heart because that's where I had my tryout. And then, like, Chavo got thrown into the river there. And, like, that was, like, right when I was, like, really getting to, like, know Chavo and learn a lot from him. He was a huge influence, and really, if it hadn't been for him, I would have never floated. I would have never been able to swim in WWE. I would have sank. He literally showed me the ropes so well that I was able to do it on my own after he and I stopped wrestling.
Awesome.
Yep.
No, yes,
sure.
we were talking about Randy Orton earlier. Did you know Randy from before, since you're both St. Louis guys?
No, I had never met him previously, but we did have a little bond over it, and we knew some, you know, we had kind of overlapping friends and, you know, same, we knew some of the same people, but yeah, we just happened to be from the same part of town. He left for the military, you know, probably when I was starting with GCW back in 2000, so, or I don't even know, you know, I don't know his timeline super well, but yeah, we had a little bond over it. Randy and I always got along real well.
Speaking of St. Louis, I think Wikipedia said you were like the youngest person in St. Louis history to get their wrestling license.
Yeah, I made him make an exception for me. You're supposed to be 18. You're supposed to be 18 when you get because in Missouri it's regulated by an athletic commission, so all wrestlers have to have license, referees have to have license. There has to be like it's like a way that the state regulates the industry in Missouri, and we had to have a meeting because they wanted to put me on a show, but it was still like 6 months before my 18th birthday. But I mean, they just were like, all right. I mean, it's not like they put me through, they tested me or anything. They're just like, all right, we believe you that you're not going to, this kid's not going to get hurt. And then they gave me the license before I was 18. And I mean, I put that thing in a frame and I was very, very proud of it because it meant I was a professional wrestler. Of course, I was paying $125 a month to train and be on shows, but
wow.
At the same time, I was a licensed pro wrestler, and, I mean, I was still in high school, and it was a huge deal for me, because, I mean, I knew that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to do, and going to school and doing everything else was just a way to buy time until I could wrestle again. That's just, everything I did in my life was just in between wrestling matches. It was just the life, you know, if I could have been in a ring every day, I would have. And, you know what I mean, I like being in the ring every weekend. Unfortunately, I was supposed to have a show tonight, but the promoter had surgery, so the show got canceled. Otherwise, I would be, like, probably stretching right now, getting ready to go out and, you know, have another match. But instead, I'm actually getting ready to go eat some sushi. So you guys want to ask a last couple questions and we can wrap it up?
Okay, go ahead.
Pretty bad. Oh, this has been... I've been thinking about this all day, and I'm going to end with this one. Do you still have your Slammy Award?
Well, I never got it. And what? You're talking to a guy who, one of my favorite moments in history was when Owen walked around with two Slammy Awards.
Yes.
And he kept saying he was a two-time Slammy Award winner. So the fact that I've never gotten my Slammy does hurt on the inside, but, you know I won it. Man, it would have been cool to actually have the physical Slammy. And
yes.
I know, like, you know, some people get it if they ask for it or whatever. But, you know, for me, it's not necessarily about the tangible things. It's about the intangibles and really, like, the way I felt when I won that award. Like, it's ineffable. I can't talk about how amazing it felt and, like, how proud I was of that moment. Yeah, I mean, that's – you want to talk about highlights, career highlights, there's one right there. But no, I don't have that
very
damn
cool
thing.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, maybe they'll hear this and they'll send you one. For my
please,
last question,
here's my address. Oh, wait.
for my last question, when you went back to Dragon's Gate, did you get reunited with the monkey? Is he still there? And are they still, like, picking on him?
No, I didn't see Cola. I think, well, Cola's a girl. It was a female monkey, and she was a total bitch. That thing, we'd pull up to the dojo, and the monkey would pick up a bunch of, like, pebbles in his hand and throw them at you. And it would, like, try and attack you. I think it was a jerk. I'm pretty sure they just have the dojo dog Momo now. And Cola either went back to the pet shop or they went to a different owner. But, you know, I love that little bitch, but, you know, every once in a while she'd be nice to me and, like, hold my hand. I love monkeys, you know, and she'd hold my hand and I'd feed her a banana, but the next second, like, you would be worried that it would, like, bite and attack and fuck you up because monkeys are strong as hell.
Right.
Awesome. Do you have any dates you want to plug before you go?
Yeah, I have a date. I have a sushi date I'm going to plug. let's see. I got a lot of stuff coming up. Here's what you can do. Follow me on Twitter. It's at FindEvan. Eventually I'll change that to Matt Seidel. Follow me on Instagram, which I'm even more active on. That's at Matt Seidel, MATTSYDAL. Follow me on there. I'll post a schedule coming up very soon where you can know if I'm in your hometown. But, I mean, I'm everywhere from the East Coast to the West Coast to Chicago, Illinois, to a date in England and one in Dublin. I mean, I'm going to be hustling all over, making towns just like all the boys. You know what I'm saying? I'll be around. Cool. You can find me. And if not, tweet me or Instagram me. Can you Instagram people? I don't know. Just like my shit and comment on it, I guess.
Cool, man. Well, thank you for taking the time. We know you're busy,
yeah,
man.
Definitely.
We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I enjoyed talking with you guys. Perhaps we can follow up after I make some waves coming up here in the next few weeks.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Thank you,
wonderful.
Sir.
Wonderful. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
I thought for sure you were going to ask him if you...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I thought for sure you were going to ask him if he enjoyed the Florida Kush or the Blue Dream.
Well, everybody likes the Blue Dream. That's some prime shit right there. I actually have some grape ape right now.
Okay.
but that was pretty good. I guess Couture's... Well, yeah, we still even have eight, so I guess Couture's still running late, but... Yeah, that went great. I think he was supposed to do the torch show yesterday and no showed. So,
oh, wow. You were scared?
Yeah, wait.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But what's been going on? What are you up to this past week, Craig?
Just working my butt off, dude. Another 50-hour week, and I'm just blowed up. I'm
Shortly you did a 50-hour week on a day where there was a holiday?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
I had to work Saturday in order to get Monday off. So that's how that worked.
Oh.
Yeah.
That
good Lord. Yeah, it sucked. But, you know, what are you going to do? And then as soon as almost immediately after I get a phone, my wife and I are driving out to the ocean. We're going to hang for the weekend without the boy and just, you know, do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Cool.
Yeah, so running away.
But speaking of work, I mean, I guess it was just the week or something because, like, okay, I don't get, whenever there's a Monday holiday, I don't get Monday off. We get Sunday off.
Right.
And Sunday's usually, like, our longest day. We go in, like, way earlier on Sunday. But we got Sunday off, so that was kind of cool. But unfortunately, we have to go in early on Monday, which is the exact time that Raw starts, so I didn't get to see Raw live, so that kind of pissed me off. But supposedly,
well, you didn't miss anything. No,
I did DVR it, and I put the instructions not to erase until I erase it when I get home, and the damn thing's not on there.
Right.
And then... So I'm either disappointed that I missed. I mean, I'm not disappointed because it was so bad, but I'm so disappointed I missed.
Oh my gosh, dude! I kid you not. That was one of the worst episodes of Raw, and not the wrestling wasn't bad, but everything in and around it, you know, like the little interviews, and then this Growing Up Bella thing, and then the acting during the Brie and Nikki thing. It was just like, if I didn't have to watch it to do Brian's show, I would have stopped watching it. Or at least I would have fast forward a few times.
Speaking of like the horrible Divas stuff, supposedly, which I don't think Divas can have a bad match, but I guess everyone's saying that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Did you watch Main Event, or did you see the pictures?
No. I have no idea what you're talking about, so clue me in, sir.
Oh, well, you know how they're pushing Rosa Mendes, right? They had a match. I don't even know who it was, but Rosa Mendes was involved, and Rosa Mendes is kind of like outside the ring, and she's like trying to get in the ring, and I think Layla's behind her. I think it was Layla. Pulling down her bottoms. And her ass is showing. Well, supposedly her ass is showing. But, well, she, you know, she had fucking nylons on, of course. But
sure.
Everyone, because I guess the picture wasn't that great that hit the internet, so everyone thought she was bare-assed. And I'm surprised you didn't hear about that.
Yeah. No, I did not hear about that.
I got excited, too, and then I heard about the nylons, and I was like, okay, they're not showing anything. That's like the greatest, what do you call it, illusion in pro wrestling is
sure.
And their nylons.
Right.
Because, a few weeks ago when I went to go see Leva Bates wrestle, she was wearing, she was doing Catwoman, right? And she had these tiny-ass little shorts that you think you're seeing a lot of ass. But mm-hmm. in reality, she's got nylons and fishnets underneath. So you're not seeing anything with the illusion, like, oh, goddamn, check out this chick and her ass hanging out, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's amazing how they can kind of use that, you know, to, like, get over when they're, you know, like I say, actually not showing anything.
Well, I think it's more for the fact that they want their legs to look very tan as well.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not just for your enjoyment, Ed.
Yeah. Well, I would like to think it is. Like, if you ever see, like, oh, my God, like, I know you don't watch the Shine pay-per-views, but Ivelisse, she has, like, fishnets on, you know, like, in, like, or, like, these penny, like, you know, designs on them, right? But she has the world's tiniest booty shorts on. So some of the angles, you're not actually seeing anything, but you think you're seeing fucking everything.
Right.
Yeah, because, like, when she's on her back or on her stomach, you don't even see her shorts. They're so small. You know, it's like, the Shine pay-per-views are worth it just for Ivelisse's outfits, because I see awesome wrestling. But, I don't know how we got onto this subject, but
thank you, thank you, our boy, the Dames, has just posted a picture, and that's her backside right there. There it is.
Oh man, okay, thank let me add it the notification.
Yes, there it is.
Yep, there it is.
There you go. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah, they're going all out to push Rosa for some reason.
Well, they need to do a little more.
Yeah. They should be gone with well, she is hot, but they should be gone with what's her name?
Eva Marie.
I would have rather seen Alicia.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
She was in like cameos in the last season. And she was fucking awesome. She always made me bust because she would always troll Natty. She would always troll Natty, like when Natty pissed herself or something. She always had the fucking jabs, and Natty would just get pissed off and take off running away. But yeah, I'm excited. Hilda Divas comes back. I'm almost excited as I am with that as Sands of Anarchy coming up pretty soon here.
That's two episodes
that you don't watch.
No, I don't. I've never seen an episode, to be honest with you. So, busy man, Ed. Busy man. Are you at all interested in the ROH pay-per-view tomorrow? iPay-per-view?
Kinda, but I'm also going to see if I could try and find a stream for Invicta. Because they always have really good shows. I've seen most of them, and they've all been like really, really good. It's on Fight Pass. I don't see if there's a stream available. I also still, because of all that car trouble I had, I never had time to go see Guardians of the Galaxy, and I found out that my IMAX is still showing it in 3D. So I know that's probably not going to keep going for too long. So I might just go, and then it's the late show, and by the time I get out, it's almost time for me to go to the paper route because I got to go early on Sunday morning, Saturday nights, and it's only like three blocks away from the IMAX. So I might do that because it's just, man, I've been wanting to see this goddamn movie for so long, and I just haven't, and I'm doing everything to avoid the spoilers. I actually really don't know what happened, but I'm sure tomorrow now I'll jinx myself and I'll fucking find spoilers or something. But, I'm going to see that.
I was going to say, when I saw Guardians, I saw it in the IMAX 3D, and it, man, that's worth the extra cash. That's an awesome way to see it. But, I was kind of running down the ROHI pay-per-view for tomorrow, and there's some really interesting matches on this, and I'm going to be out of town.
They did change one of them. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, I did. Silas Young is out with a broken leg, and that really sucks. But I'm really interested to see AJ Styles and Adam Cole. That's going to be a really good match. But there's also Red Dragon and the Young Bucks. That's going to be off the charts good, I think. And
okay, did you see the video or still of this Dave Meltzer move they invented?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, well, one of the Wrestling Observer's radio shows, Dave starts talking about the Young Bucks doing this move, and I think Brian mentioned, is that the one they named after you? And he was like, yeah, I don't know if it's the Meltzer or what the name of it is. They didn't actually say, but it's supposed to be a springboard 450 into a spike pile driver.
Okay. Because I just got the video from High Spots yesterday of PWG 11. High Spots sent it to me, and it's got the Young Bucks versus Joey Ryan and Candice for the tag titles. And one of the moves that they do, the Young Bucks do a springboard to the outside with a spike pile driver on Candice.
She's the Candice of all people. She is pretty fearless because, like, that one show I went to, she was on, she did, like, four toe pays in a row. And on the very first one, she crashed and burned on the – well, she still hits Su Young, but her knees and thighs just slammed into the chair. I was like, man, I don't think she's going to get up. But she got up, and she just, like, three more. And she's tiny, dude. She's not, like, Solo Darling tiny, but she's – a tiny petite little girl. I was surprised when I got to take a picture with her and stuff. But yeah, she's great. But yeah, the Young Bucks, the best thing they ever did. Well, until I actually see the Meltzer or whatever. But that fucking thing they did against Red Dragon when they super kicked into the tombstone.
Yes.
Yeah, when Red Dragon tombstone, I guess O'Reilly tombstone Bobby Fish or. The other way, fucking, that was great. That was like, what the? Those dudes, they do come up with some cool shit, man.
They really do. And again, not signed to a major company. Just cracks me up. But I love Young Bucks. I think my son is a huge Young Bucks fan. And when the DVD showed up yesterday, he's like, Dad, we got to watch this right now. And I'm like, son, the first football game of the season is on in 5 minutes. We are not watching that now. So, anyway.
Well, I'm glad to hear your son has better priorities than you.
What do you mean there's football on? Come on now.
I'm just not you know what? Years ago, I would have agreed with you, but I guess since I started working nights and I sleep during the day and I haven't really watched football, like I used to back in the day. I'm just not the fan that I used to be. I'll probably only watch maybe like two or three games the whole year, you know.
Right.
But
well, you missed a good one last night.
Yeah, I heard your team won.
Yes, they won big, actually.
Who'd they play?
But, Green Bay.
Oh, Green Bay, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, this is completely off topic, but we are talking about football. Go to YouTube and type in Hans and Franz. You remember from the old SNL?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Green Bay's quarterback, whose name just dropped out of my head right now.
Brett Favre?
No, the other guy. The new guy.
Aaron Rodgers?
Thank you. Aaron Rodgers. So there's a commercial with Aaron Rodgers and the Hans and Franz from SNL, and they're doing the discount double check thing. It's tremendous. It was the best thing Aaron Rodgers did in that game all day yesterday. Well, yeah, it's tremendous.
If you check, if you check Twitter, there's stills of this Aldred thing.
Okay, okay.
It looks,
thank you.
It looks crazy.
Okay. I'm glad we have one. I'm glad we have one listener.
We have two. I think Jazz was listening unless he got mad because I forgot to ask the question he asked me to ask Evan. So.
The Meltzer driver. No, I got it in. It's all good.
And then your boyfriend Clary, he should be listening.
How dare you? He probably listens tomorrow. Anyway.
Probably. Speaking of football, his team sucks this year.
So still no Couture.
Still no Couture. I don't. Let me check again. I don't think so. Yeah, and still no Couture. But I guess Couture might be out of luck because I'm kind of running out of things to talk about. Honestly,
I was hoping you were going to wrap it up. To be honest with you,
you were hoping I was going to wrap it up. Okay. Well, let me throw out the plugs and we'll see if anything pops in my head while I'm doing the plug.
There you go.
Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. So check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Couture and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can check me out on Twitter at my last name, P-R-O-P-E-R. That's Proper, but it's spelled Proper. Proper Jam. And just retweeted something that Evan had to plug. So if you're looking for his handle, it's on my page right now. So check me out there and check out Evan Bourne wrestling, or excuse me, Matt Sydal wrestling a few dates. And do not use the link to his website off that because it is incorrect. So just throwing that out there. But big thanks to Mr. Bourne, Mr. Sydal, however he wants to go by. Mr. Sydal was a fine guest and a good get, Ed. Nicely done.
I have bad news for you, Craig. Couture just called in. So let's see if he has anything to talk about. Couture,
okay.
What's going on?
Nothing. What are y'all doing?
We're about ready to wrap up.
Craig was wanting to end this show.
Okay, well, we'll talk to everybody next week. So long.
What? He hung up already. I was going to say, well, stay and talk about whatever he wants, but...
Yeah, we could have talked to him. I would have loved to talk to Couture. My Friday night is not complete. That was the best appearance I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Or heard.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and end the show. I am in negotiations with Mia Yam. She just got to hammer out the day when she can do it. But she should be coming on this month, so that should be a good interview. She's a really cool chick. So hopefully that'll be on pretty soon here. And other than that, everybody just come back next week. And we hope you enjoyed the interview. And why don't you share the post on Facebook and retweet us on Twitter and help the show out. And so more people can hear this awesome interview with Matt Sydal, the former Evan Bourne.
You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up. I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
Dragons out my way tonight.